Catholic Radio Indy now presents Faith in Action, a program that looks at how everyday people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Our program is underwritten in part by Franciscan St. Francis Health, providing faith-based integrated health care, a recipient of HealthGrade's 2015 America's 100 Best Hospitals Award, and by Marian University, a great Catholic university dedicated to providing students with excellence in teaching and learning in the Franciscan and liberal arts tradition, preparing transformative leaders for service to the world. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is MJ Crowder.
Jim Ganley. You know, I was just thinking we're about at the midpoint. This would normally be about the midpoint rally for 40 Days for Life.
And I think we're just about there. I believe I saw November 5th.
Okay, so we're right there. And it's not too late to talk to your local parish. I know our parish has things going on. We have days we've signed up for. And if you can't go out to Planned Parenthood, there you still can say a rosary. Sign up for rosaries. They are collecting, so they have a number of rosaries to kind of quantify. But it's not too late to get involved with 40 Days for Life. We haven't talked about it much on Faith in Action because I was talking with Patty. Normally we have our radiothon in September, right. Early September, or right. Sometimes mid-September. Right. Rarely have we pushed it back from September to October. And Tim O'Donnell is always telling us about the kickoff and that's what the deal. So that's why if you haven't heard about it, you're thinking, gosh, they haven't talked about it much on Catholic Radio. Because, Jim, what's going on with our radiothon this year?
Well, it is coming up November 1st and 2nd. That is a Wednesday and a Thursday, and we still can use a few people to volunteer. Now, it's not scary. It's not hard work. You just have to show up, and honestly, we wish we could make the phone ring even more than it does. But really what you do is you just end up sitting in a room with a couple of other people with a phone in front of you, and when someone calls and says, I want to donate, you get their name, address, phone number, et cetera. That's it. You're done. On to the next call. So it's not hard work. In fact, it's a lot of fun. You get to meet some people, get to come in the radio station and see all that's going on. And we just need a few more volunteers. It only takes a couple of hours. We're going to be on those 2 days I mentioned, the 1st and 2nd of November, from 6:30 in the morning till 9, and then from 3:30 until 6 in the afternoon. And as far as volunteering to answer the phones, we just want you to pick any one of those four segments, not all of them, just one of them. Can you come in for a couple hours in the morning or maybe in the afternoons? If you can, give us a call at 317-870-8400. 317-870-8400. And you'll probably be talking to Patty and she can let you know what hours are available, what hours we need help, or maybe the other way around, you can tell us what hours you can help. We'll work with you either way. So 317-870-8400. The dates are November 1st and November 2nd.
And we're going to have some fun, by the way, in the afternoons, I think. If you tuned in last year, you will remember, I'm not going to give it away, but we will have some fun.
We will.
And a little bit of competition. Our guest on Faith in Action today is kind of an unusual guest, even in the type of guest it is. We have a hermit with us today, a modern day hermit. And when she walked through the door, I was envisioning, you know, the pictures you think of, at least I do in my mind, I think of a person all dressed in black, maybe, or a solid color, with a hood, you know, a hood of some sort or a cowl neck. So anyway, welcome Ellen Jones Carney, a hermit. God bless you.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
You know, the word kind of evokes this pictures, you know, that come with your imagination. And we're going to get to that a little bit.
But people always want to know, like, where's your cave?
Right, exactly. we were just the Desert Fathers, you know, we were just talking about the Desert Fathers with Sandra Measle. So, you know, I think that's what comes to mind. You think about it. But you don't look anything like a hermit. You're a beautiful woman. So tell us a little bit about, first of all, let's start with your parish and what side of town you live on.
I live in West Indianapolis, which is just southwest of downtown near the Eli Lilly facilities.
Sure. Yeah.
And my parish, I attend Holy Rosary over on Stevens Street.
Yes.
I am a member of the community of St. Joseph of Arimathea, which is the Anglican Ordinariate community here in town. We are former Anglicans or Methodists that have entered the Catholic Church.
Oh, now there's a story in itself. So let's back up a little bit. So you are a convert.
I am.
Okay. All right. So take us back to, I want to go even further back than being a convert, because that's kind of interesting, and we will weave that story in. But tell us a little bit about your vocation, about the call to vocation. When did you get the first nudgings about a vocation?
I was married at the age of 38 and widowed at the age of 46.
Oh, goodness, that was young.
And my spiritual director, after I had been through a couple of years of mourning, I began to discern a religious vocation in the Episcopal Church. And being around 48 years old, I was getting a bit long in the tooth.
Don't say that.
Okay. For a community to accept me.
Okay.
Plus, there are not that many religious communities for women in the Episcopal Church in the United States.
Oh, really?
There are maybe five.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Left in the United States. I may have that number wrong.
A small number.
A very small number. And some were, even to my untrained eyes, rather unviable. Mm-hmm. So I went and told my spiritual director that I didn't have the charism to be the last one to leave. Please turn out the lights.
Yeah, right.
So he handed me a book called The Book of Occasional Services in the Episcopal Church.
Vocational or occasional?
Occasional.
Occasional, okay.
The last service in that is called Setting Apart for a Special Vocation. Okay. It is essentially becoming what is called in the Episcopal Church a solitary religious, a man or woman under vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience to the local ordinary that lives alone under a rule of life. And I began to discern that. And after about 2 years, I decided to pursue it.
And did you have children at the time?
I did not. I've
no children.
I've not had children.
Okay, all right.
So put together over time a rule of life and presented that to the local Episcopal bishop, and things moved on. And 10 years ago, I pronounced my final vows as a solitary religious or / hermit in the Episcopal Church.
Oh my goodness. If you're just now tuning in, listeners, Ellen Jones Carney is a hermit. And she's telling us a little bit about her vocation story. You know, when we think of hermit, of course, we think of someone who is, you did mention solitary, a solitary life, and kind of set apart singularly. But we don't think of a hermit living in amongst the rest of us. You know, we kind of think of them as apart, even physically apart. So did you work at the time, and did people around you know that you were discerning for this and had become in fact a hermit?
Yes, I am a registered nurse by profession. I had to work some, although I cut due to the vow of poverty. And the life of a hermit is in the silence of solitude. I had to find a job as a registered nurse where I could have the majority of my time in solitude, which I did. I found employment where I worked the night shift, and It was 12-hour shifts.
Ooh.
So I worked 2 12-hour shifts a week, and the rest of my time was spent in solitude and silence. So I was able to make enough money and to sustain myself.
Okay, so I guess what we need to understand is what defines a hermit, because to be in solitude and silence, as you said, could that be living alone in an apartment with limited TV and radio and more prayer?
To live in silence and solitude is not a terribly much a function of the where. You can live in the country. You could live in the desert. There are a fair number of urban hermits. It is not only a state of mind and soul, but it does demand living alone. In other words, if you were beginning this life and then it necessitated caring for, say, a disabled loved one, you probably have to put the vocation aside to care for the loved one.
Oh, I see. Okay, so that in itself is a sacrifice.
It is
living alone as a hermit, right?
It is.
Okay, so why, I guess, why choose the vow, or why choose to become a hermit when you could have lived as a widow alone with a decent prayer life and supporting yourself and meditating and going to Mass regularly? But why choose, or how did you feel called to that? Why tell us a little bit about that.
It is a matter of consecration. The religious, whether they live in a hermitage or they live in the cloister, is a consecrated person. And I think there are extra graces that are received in committing yourself by vows to a specific mode of life under obedience to a real live human person with a face and hands.
Oh, sure. Sure. And we, I want to talk about that. We need to take a break and we'll be right back.
Did you miss something in this show or just want to hear it again? Podcasts of this and all our other great local programs are available 24/7 at CatholicRadioIndy.org. Saturday is a different kind of day, so start it off right with Catholic Radio Indy's Saturday morning lineup. Forming Faithful Families at 9, I Choose Life at 9:30, Catholic Jukebox Indiana at 10, The Catholic Cave at 11, and 2 episodes of Faith in Action at noon. Every Saturday, starting at 9 on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guest today, Ellen Jones Carney, and she is a real-life 2017 hermit. We talked in the first half a little bit about your vocation story. However, you did tell us that you were an Episcopalian, kind of an Anglican, and there are a number of them who have converted or hermits at one time. But we didn't talk much about your conversion, not at all, as a matter of fact, about your conversion story. I have many more questions for you, but before we get much further, what prompted that? I'm imagining stirrings of the soul that you had. So what drew you to the Catholic Church?
I had had contact with the Catholic Church off and on for 30-plus years. Significant people in my life had been mentors, friends, acquaintances. Much of my reading through my vocation as an Episcopal solitary was formed by not only the Eastern Church, the hermit saints, but also the Western saints like Teresa of Avila, St. Bonaventure, Catherine of Siena, a number of theologians. And about 7 years ago, I had a major illness. And I found that in that illness, a stripping of everything in my life that I found dear or comfortable or even meaningful. And in that rather painful process of stripping, I really got to the end of my rope, spiritually speaking, and I cried out to God and said, Jesus, please help me. And lo and behold, the answer came, go and sit in front of the Blessed Sacrament. So I said, okay. I mean, it was just that simple.
Now, in the Episcopal Church, do they have an opportunity for sitting in front of the Blessed Sacrament?
Some churches that are, quote, high church do, okay. And some don't.
So you were familiar with what you were being asked to do?
I was.
Okay.
I was. And so, knowing that there was no open Episcopal Church within a hailing distance, I thought about Holy Rosary, which is about 5 minutes from my house. So I went to Holy Rosary, and I sat in front of the Blessed Sacrament for about 2 hours and cried my eyes out.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
I went home, and I said, well, dear Jesus, what do I do now? And the reply, well, silly thing, go talk to a priest. And I remember standing in my living room looking at my bookcases, and all the authors in there were pretty much either from the Eastern Church or the Western Church. There was very little there of my daily sustenance and study that pertained actually to Anglicanism.
Oh, really? So this couldn't, I mean, unconsciously or subconsciously, it wasn't a surprise because you were already surrounding yourself quite significantly with Catholic scholars and theologians. And
I had been for a long time. So I went to Mass and introduced myself to Father Ryan McCarthy and said, hi, I'm Ellen Jones Carney. I'm an Episcopal nun, and I need to talk to a priest.
Well, listeners, our listeners will be very upset.
Said, huh?
And he says, oh, Father Reese is in the sacristy.
Oh, dear. Listeners, that name may sound familiar to you because he is, of course, our faith-filled physician priest the first Thursday of every month. He's here, and we have an hour-long call-in, a live call-in, and he is he staffs it with medical professionals from the Indianapolis and surrounding area. So he is, of course, the pastor of Holy Rosary. So you chatted with him and introduced yourself, and he said, okay, let's get started.
Yes, so he introduced me to Father Luke Reese, who's our ordinariate pastor for the community. He's a former Anglican, and he's a married priest. He was just ordained a year ago in June through the ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter's.
Oh, right. Okay, well, and we will start to see more and more of those. I mean, Father Dwight Longnecker also was a guest here on Faith in Action, and mm-hmm. and quite active on Twitter and Facebook and all. He's very active. I see his feed all the time. So you then came into the Catholic Church, and did this affect at all your standing as a hermit in the Anglican Church? Was there anything that you had to put aside or reconsecrate or take different vows? How did that? How did you work that out?
Under canon law, I had to let my vows lapse. I informed the Episcopal bishop of my decision. She released me. And in November, I was received by confirmation in the Catholic Church. It was very hard emotionally to let go of that. So I quit calling myself sister. I took off the habit. But life as a hermit went on for me.
A habit. So you, what did you wear as a habit?
I wore a veil, wimple, habit, scapular.
A wimple. What is a wimple?
A wimple is that white thing around one's neck and face. And
so you would have looked like a nun if you had a sister, a nun. You would have looked a normal. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, listeners, this is there are a few times in radio when it would be instructive to have visuals, and this is one of those times, because I wondered before we chatted with you today what you would look like. You know, would you come in dressed simply, or would you have some sort of a habit, or would you just look like any Joe Blow or Josephina, you know, walking down the street? And listeners, you are dressed in a very simple clothes, all black, but it doesn't, you could be anyone, really. I mean, there's no large cross on your neck or external, you know, indication, religious, you know, indication. I'm not looking at the, I was going to say, and usually they're smart or functional, low flat shoes. You're not wearing heels. But, you know, I wonder if you have a spiritual advisor or someone to whom you are accountable on a regular basis, and also if you have a, of course you've said there is no community. You are a singular life. You're living singularly. But how do you check in with someone on a regular basis?
Father Reese is my confessor and spiritual director. I meet with him every 2 weeks for spiritual direction. Part of my rule of life is that I go to confession every week or so with him in particular. I revised my rule of life slightly to make it in conformity to the Roman Catholic Church. One, to make the vow of obedience real, one has to be accountable to someone.
Sure.
So major decisions, such as coming here, I informed him of that before I take on any kind of external activity of any significance. If I'm going to be out of town.
Oh, okay.
That sort of thing. I just drop him an email and say, and ask permission, basically.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah. Now, is this something, if there's someone listening right now to this radio program and they're thinking, gee, I might be interested in that sort of a life for myself, where would they start? How would they become a hermit?
I think that one begins to read as much as one can on the subject. You begin to read about what are vows? What is a rule of life? How do moderns navigate this? What is the canon law in the church? What does the catechism have to say about it? Begin to find other hermits, and they're more accessible now that you can use the World Wide Web, mm-hmm. and begin correspondence with them.
Do you have any idea how many hermits, official hermits, we have in the United States?
I do not know.
Okay.
What about in the Indianapolis area? Are there tens or hundreds?
Oh, no. I know of one hermit sister who is a friend of mine. Also, the late Sister Marianne Schumann.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Who I believe helped get the Perpetual Adoration chapels going in this diocese.
Yeah, she was a good friend of Catholic Radio. She was quite interesting. We had her as a guest many times.
And I guess it'd be possible that you're living right next door to another hermit and wouldn't know it?
That's right. There are official hermits and unofficial hermits. Some people do not wish to be known at all and don't go to their local ordinary to begin the canonical process to become a hermit.
Sure. Is there a special charism attached with being a hermit, or does it differ, as you said, with your life? You were talking about life schedule, your life plan,
rule of life.
Does it vary from hermit to hermit?
There is no set rule of life. Each hermit, in conjunction with their spiritual director and the bishop, and when they're ready to take vows, they will present it to a canon lawyer. The specifics of that, let's say if they have a special charism, say to pray for priests or right to life issues, then that could be written in.
So it's unique. It's unique to the
it is unique to
the hermit taking the vows. And you know, listeners, if you're just now tuning in, we're chatting with Ellen Jones Carney, a real life modern day hermit. We have a little less than a minute left. I promise to give you the last moment or two in case you'd like to share something with our listeners. But you know, it's kind of cloaked in mystery. You know, and would you like to address our listeners a little bit personally?
The purpose of the hermit life, like any religious, is to will one thing, which is the pursuit of one's life in God. And that's the single point, the single purpose of taking vows of a life of penance, a life of solitude, a life of unceasing prayer, is union with God. And this is the basket that I have chosen and that chose me in order that that might be the pursuit of my life, to be in union with God.
And what a more perfect way for you. God bless you. Ellen Jones Carney, a hermit, thank you so much for being our guest today on Faith in Action.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten in part by Marian University and by Franciscan St. Francis Health. If you'd like to suggest a guest or a topic for a future program, call us at 317-870-8400 or email mj@catholicradioindy.org. And remember, you can hear or download this program or any Faith in Action program 24/7 at catholicradioindy.org. Just click on the programming tab and select podcasts.